Power isn't something we possess, it's something we perform. This revolutionary insight from Stanford professor Deborah Grunfeld transforms how we understand influence in our daily lives. Despite her 25-plus years researching power dynamics at the highest levels, Grunfeld admits she still sometimes carries that childhood feeling of powerlessness. This paradox reveals a profound truth. Power isn't an internal state, but a social role we play on life's stage. We're all actors, performing in different contexts, sometimes leading, sometimes supporting. The most effective people recognize which role they're in and perform it deliberately rather than reactively. When we understand power as performance rather than possession, we gain the freedom to step into our roles more effectively, whether we're running a meeting, negotiating a raise, or managing family dynamics. The question isn't, do I have power, but rather, what role am I playing in this scene, and how can I perform it well? Power fundamentally shapes human relationships, determining who lives, who dies, and who tells your story. Yet, it's often misunderstood. Power isn't a permanent trait. It's contextual and relational, based on what you uniquely provide to others. A CEO commanding respect in boardrooms may feel powerless with teenage children. Contrary to popular belief, power isn't inherently hostile. Research shows power differences can create attraction and provide necessary structure. Organizations use hierarchies to enable swift decisions and accountability. Effective leaders combine hard power, resource control, with soft power, persuasion, expertise. The desire for power transcends gender. While men hold more formal positions, the power motive is equally strong across genders. Cultural expectations simply shape different expressions. Fortune 500 companies with more women leaders consistently outperform peers. Power exists to solve group problems. Throughout history, leaders gained influence by protecting groups, mediating conflicts, and ensuring fair distribution. This understanding transforms power from a source of anxiety into a tool for positive change. Mastering power dynamics requires two fundamental modes, playing power up and down. Former Chinese Premier Zhu Rongji exemplified this balance, combining authoritative presence with personal attentiveness during meetings. Playing power up isn't about domination, but contextual effectiveness. Body language is crucial. We square off directly, make eye contact, and expand our presence, like animals do. Power also manifests through slow, deliberate speech and deeper voice. Key techniques include pulling rank, hierarchical humor, pushing boundaries, and exercising the right of refusal. Playing power down means having enough security to prioritize others' interests. This includes using self-deprecating humor, asking for help, respecting boundaries, and accommodating others' wishes. Many influential leaders frequently play power down, recognizing its strategic value. Most situations demand blending both approaches. In ambiguous first encounters, play power up enough to command respect, while playing down enough to avoid appearing threatening. Lasting influence comes from advancing shared goals, whether by leading or supporting others. We resist acting in life, seeing it as inauthentic. Yet we're always performing, responding with reflexive positivity while privately facing challenges. In life, as in theater, we have roles with varying power levels and scripts. This isn't about faking it, but showing up appropriately for each context. Serena Williams' 2018 US Open outburst shows what happens when we lose the plot, forgetting our role and purpose. Despite her status, she momentarily forgot the umpire's authority in that setting. Power manifests through responsibilities more than rights. Research shows people who define themselves by roles, spouse, manager, rather than traits, intelligent, introverted, focus more on duties than needs. Actors use Stanislavski's magic if technique to authentically inhabit unfamiliar circumstances, imagining a character's situation as their own. Our environment and appearance influence how we embody roles. Props and professional attire both signal authority and boost internal confidence. Hosting effectively establishes leadership, creating a welcoming space while maintaining authentic presence. Everyone must master supporting roles, as we all answer to someone. When power motivated, we may develop a superhero complex, inflated self-perceptions that make it hard to step back. Acting as if you have more power than you do signals disrespect and alienates others. Poor reading of power dynamics reveals self-absorption and damages relationships, often due to anxiety overwhelming awareness. Supporting roles require seeing yourself as a partner to those above you. Riding shotgun means committing to putting someone else first, not viewing your role as merely a stepping stone. Organizations are opportunities to contribute to something greater, not vehicles for personal advancement. Many excel behind the scenes, like David Litt, Obama's speechwriter who specialized in jokes. Though unnamed during his first term, Litt embraced his role, noting, "I didn't make a ton of history, and that's totally fine." The ability to focus on craft over personal glory creates real impact. Willingness to take personal risk for the group's good builds genuine status. At Stanford's Executive Challenge, when executives demanded to know who would take responsibility for potential failure, one student simply stated, "You come to me," demonstrating true leadership through support. Despite Nietzsche's will to power theory, many fear power more than desire it. The Stanford prison experiment revealed guards responding anxiously to authority, becoming aggressive, rigid with rules, or appeasing prisoners, all reactions rooted in fear of responsibility. In leadership positions, while you feel unchanged internally, external expectations multiply. This visibility often triggers imposter syndrome. People typically respond by showing vulnerability, withdrawing, or overcompensating with authority. In power roles, competence is assumed. What matters more is showing genuine care for those you lead. Leaders often falter by waiting for perfect knowledge before acting, like President Bush viewing Hurricane Katrina from above rather than meeting victims. Psychologists note that most people avoid power and accountability, with studies showing over half preferring second place to first. While performance anxiety is natural in elevated positions, it becomes productive when focus shifts from self to others. Remember, people rarely scrutinize your performance as much as you think. During the hashtag MeToo movement, leaders struggled to define standards for wielding power responsibly. While negative examples dominate headlines, we should look to those who've used power positively in our lives. Beneficence requires those in power to prioritize others' welfare, treating power as a resource to invest rather than accumulate. Like theater directors, effective leaders must personally own both vision and role, using their status to provide meaning amid chaos. When choosing leaders, we should prioritize commitment over ambition. Rather than charisma, look for warmth, genuine caring, reliability, and willingness to take risks for others' success. Developmental maturity, the ability to control selfish impulses and act for others' benefit, is crucial. We must reframe what constitutes a powerful life. Great stories aren't about flawless people who effortlessly succeed, but about struggle and triumph. Using power well means embracing our full humanity and acting from hope. Power's true purpose is service and collective advancement, not domination or self-aggrandizement.